I want to deal with a subject beginning tonight that is really spiritual gifts, but it's not just all spiritual gifts. There are lots of spiritual gifts that have been given, but it's particularly dealing with the nine, what we call sign, S-I-G-N, nine sign gifts. The most prominent one is speaking in tongues. Is it for today? Are any of these for today? Is prophecy, which is another one, for today? Is the ability to heal? And I'm not talking about have your dog walking with you, heal in that sense, but to heal the sick, is that for today? Is that a miraculous gift that is available? And I want you to understand that there are some people that are mistaken in thinking that these things are all still given today. None of these nine sign gifts is in effect any longer. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, we read, "Let all things be done decently and in order." We live in an ordered universe. We must have order in our country, in our local church, in our services, in our businesses, and in our families. And if we don't, we will have disorder or chaos. In 1 Corinthians chapters 11 through 14, we have a discussion about Christian order. The Corinthians were having trouble in their church with their understanding and practice of proper biblical order. In chapters 12 through 14, which we're beginning this evening, we see that their practice of the special spiritual gifts known as the nine sign gifts was disorderly. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, which we're looking at in this message, we see an introduction to the subject of the special spiritual gifts, the nine sign gifts. Now, the widespread use of the spiritual gifts led to their abuse. It is to correct the abuse of the spiritual gifts that the Apostle Paul wrote chapters 12 through 14. In verses 1 through 3, we see that true believers operate in accordance with the Holy Spirit of God. Verses 1 through 3 read, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." In verse 1, Paul is changing topics. He's been dealing with the Lord's Supper. Now he's changing topics. "Now concerning" suggests "now about." "Now concerning" or "now about" spiritual gifts introduces another question about which the Corinthian believers had asked Paul. It is the question about spiritual gifts, particularly regarding speaking in tongues. "Concerning" or "about" spiritual gifts has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained in the King James Bible. Spiritual gifts are special abilities God the Holy Spirit has given to individuals. Paul addresses the Corinthian believers as brethren, meaning as brothers, by which he means fellow believers. They are, in his judgment, saved people, although there may have been some that were not genuinely saved. Kind of like in our churches today, we believe that some of our members are saved. We hope they all are, but we're always concerned that there might be a few that have not yet really understood the gospel and been genuinely born again. I would not have you ignorant, as I do not wish or I do not desire you Corinthian believers not to know about spiritual gifts. Now, if that language confuses you, it's really simply put, I want you to know about spiritual gifts. You get two negatives in there. He wants them to know about spiritual gifts. Verse number 2, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Now, when he says dumb idols, he doesn't mean stupid idols. Like we sometimes use that word dumb in the sense of stupid. That's not its intent here. Dumb means they can't speak, okay? They are voiceless. And so I need to say that lest some of you not realize that when I say that something is dumb, like why wouldn't my dumb lawnmower start? You know how that goes. Well, it did finally, okay? Once a spark plug was put in it that worked, it's amazing, it took right off. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, you Corinthian believers. You see, you perceive, or you recognize. And what they recognize is that you were, which implies, but you no longer are, Gentiles. You're no longer heathen. You are no longer pagans. Prior to their salvation, people were either Jews or Gentiles. After their salvation, they are no longer regarded as Jews or as Gentiles. Now that they have been saved, they are regarded as believers and are no longer regarded as Jews or Gentiles. In 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 32, we see the same truth indicated. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Thus there are three different groups: unbelieving Jews, unbelieving Gentiles, and believers. Prior to their salvation, the Corinthians were pagans who were carried away, meaning who were misled unto these dumb, meaning voiceless, idols, or idols which are not able to speak. Even as, suggests as, or when ye were led. When you allowed yourselves to be led, perhaps it was by parents, perhaps it was by custom, you know, they were brought up in this. But ultimately, it was by Satan and demons that these unsaved people were led to worship idols or demons. The idols represented demons. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, introduces what we would call a strong inference, concluded from what was said in verse 2, that prior to their salvation, the Corinthian believers were Gentiles who were led unto idols which were not able to speak, but the Holy Spirit was not the one who led them to these idols. I give you to understand is simply I make known or reveal to you. What Paul makes known to the Corinthian believers is that no man, no one, or nobody, obviously that includes ladies as well as men, nobody speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Nobody says by the Spirit of God, Jesus is cursed, or cursed be Jesus. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead anybody to say that, because it is not true. And he is honoring the Lord Jesus always. Furthermore, God the Holy Spirit will never lead anyone to say that Jesus is accursed, but demons will lead people to say this. So if someone says Jesus is cursed, or cursed be Jesus, it is a demon or Satan himself rather than God the Holy Spirit who's leading him to do so. Likewise, anyone who would take the name of Christ in vain by using it as a swear word is not being led by the Holy Spirit to do this, but by some demon. Now, it's very common for us to hear somebody taking the Lord's name or God's name and using it as a swear word. I learned something when I came to this part of the world. Okay, I mean by that North Carolina. I never heard, where I grew up, believers saying, "Oh Lordy, be careful. I think it's taking the name of the Lord in vain." And I have been told it's cultural. I don't care whether it's cultural or not. Don't do it. You're asking God to correct you, and it's better to correct yourself before you get into trouble like that, okay? It bothers me. I've heard preachers' wives saying that. I can't believe it, but I did hear it, and I do believe it because I was there, and it just rankled me, let me say it that way, okay? I did not get up and shout or create a disturbance, but I wanted to. Who would be expected to say that Jesus is accursed? Well, it might be an unsaved Jew who would claim that Jesus was justly and properly crucified, but also any unsaved person led by a demon or led by Satan himself might do it, even though he may not realize that it is a demon or Satan who's leading him like this. And he goes on, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. An unsaved person will never acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, meaning that Jesus is Jehovah or that Jesus is God, because he does not possess the Holy Spirit who enables people to do so. However, no demon will ever lead anyone to say or acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit, however, does lead someone to state or to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. If you acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord, that is an indication that you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you and that you are a saved individual. Just as the Holy Spirit did not lead these believers into idolatry before they were saved, no demon led them out of idolatry to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. This does not mean that someone could not flippantly mouth the words that Jesus is Lord. But if you were living at this time in history when 1 Corinthians was written, the emperor worship was practiced. As a result, if someone were to say that Jesus is Lord rather than that Caesar is Lord, it might cost him his life. You need to understand that this was something that only serious people who were saved would actually be willing to say. Well, as we move into verses 4-7, we see that spiritual gifts are intended to edify, which means to build up the local church. They're not intended to build up the person. They're intended to build up the local church. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And if you understood that completely on your first reading through it, you're doing better than I ever did, all right? There are different spiritual gifts, but there's only one Holy Spirit who gives all of them. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, verse 4 says. There are diversities of gifts suggests differences of spiritual gifts exist, but is introducing a mild contrast, the same Spirit. Although spiritual gifts may differ from one person to another, it is God, the Holy Spirit, who gives all of them. Unity does not come in the local church because all possess the same gift, but because all the gifts are given by the one Holy Spirit of God. It is right and it is proper that believers in a local church are gifted spiritually, but our gifts differ one from another. We are not all gifted in exactly the same way. Now, that does not mean that there cannot be several people within a large congregation that have the same gift. But it does mean that it is normal to have differing gifts in a local church. Now, you think about something. What about the ministry of a church? How do you do certain things? You use people who have been gifted in that particular thing to do it. Just as an example, I may have had some gift musically, but I'm not gifted as far as playing the piano is concerned. You wouldn't want me to substitute for Ashley on the piano, or for Sylvia on the keyboard, or for Gretchen on the organ. You understand? They're gifted musically in a way that I'm not gifted, at least I don't know whether I am or not. You see, my mama wanted to teach me piano, and she was a good pianist. And my dad said, you don't have to if you don't want to, because he had been forced to, and he didn't have any talent. And I decided I wanted to play football. So I played football. I did not play the piano. Now I can't play either one. Could I have played the piano? I have the ear for it. I think I could have. I have the hands that's big enough to get three or four notes with the same finger. But I also can play a lot of notes if I were taught. But it's long past. We don't know. Not everybody's a teacher. Some of you are good teachers, excellent teachers. Some of you don't teach at all, which is fine. Some of you are great with the nursery. You do great work with the children. Some of you are great at giving. Some of you are great at praying. We are different. We don't even look alike, most of us. Okay? If you happen to be a twin, you might look like somebody else. Let's go on. The same Spirit. In relation to God, the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts are gifts He, the Holy Spirit, has given. We move into verse 5, and we see that Christ gets involved here. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are different administrations, but the same Lord. It means there are diversities of administrations that exist. Administrations are ministries, services, or offices. For example, apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. In case you wondered, or even if you didn't, I am gifted as a pastor teacher. Did you know that I'm not gifted as a pastor preacher? I'm not gifted as a pastor storyteller. And I'm certainly not gifted as a pastor entertainer. As a pastor teacher, one of the biblical qualifications for a pastor is that he must be apt to teach. If he can't teach, he's not qualified to be a pastor. Teaching God's word to his congregation is one of his main biblical responsibilities that a pastor has been given. If people in Calvary Baptist Church are learning what God says in the Bible and learning it in language they can understand, then I am doing my job as a pastor teacher. That is my job as a pastor, to feed the flock, to watch over it, not just to scream and holler at them, not to stomp all over the platform and up and down off the platform, around the congregation, standing on the pews or on whatever people do. I'm not one of those kind, and you probably would not appreciate one of those. At least I wouldn't appreciate one of those. I would be in the service about one half time. I would leave during the middle of it. Unfortunately, I'm saying this now, I'm being critical. This is not what is being taught in some Bible colleges, where the most important thing may be intensity or excitement in preaching, but not accuracy. I want to be accurate. I want you to know what the text says and what it means and how it applies to you. Furthermore, pulpit pablum or baby food is not what you believers need. As adults, you are physically way beyond the need for pablum. And I had to explain a week ago to Josh what pablum means. And most of you older folks, Josh is pretty young yet, most of you older folks know what pablum is because you gave some of it to your babies. As believers, hopefully, you are spiritually way beyond the need for pulpit pablum. What believers need from every pulpit is the solid teaching of the Word of God, and unfortunately, it's hard to find it these days. It's difficult to find churches anywhere, it's not just in this area, anywhere which provide the solid teaching of the Word of God. But here's another criticism. It's also somewhat difficult these days to find believers who really want it. That is a concern for me. There are differences of administrations. I'm back in the text now. I'm off of my rant and raving. But the same Lord implies, but there is only one Lord. Of course, this is the Lord Jesus, who is in charge of everything. Everything that comes into your life, he's in charge of. Isn't that wonderful? Just think of the blessings he's brought into your life. Yes, he has. He's also brought some trials, hasn't he? Why? For your benefit, to help you be a better, more godly individual. In relation to God the Son, spiritual gifts are ministries or services. As we go on into verse 6, there are diversities of operations that's not talking about the kind of operation that you might have on your body to correct a physical problem, okay? There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Diversities of operations means that differences of operations exist. Operations are effects, energizings, activities, or supernatural workings. But the same God means that there's only one God, God the Father, which worketh all in all, which means that God the Father, who is the one who works all things in all persons or in all situations. He is totally in control. Nothing has ever gotten out of his control, including all the problems that seem to be going on in our country. He is in control of them, allowing them. In relation to God the Father, spiritual gifts are effects wrought, effects worked, effects produced by his power. We go into verse number 7, and we see, but the manifestation of this Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And once again, my guess is that you didn't understand that on the first reading. I didn't. Why would I expect others to? But is now. The manifestation of the Spirit refers to the spiritual gift. It refers to the way the Holy Spirit manifests himself or makes himself known. It refers to the spiritual gift or gifts the Holy Spirit gives. So you have a spiritual gift. It is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, although the gifts differ from one believer to another, each gift is an evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit who indwells the individual to whom this gift is given. Similarly, the movement of trees and grasses indicates the presence of wind. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, suggests is being given to every man, meaning to each person or believer, to benefit, that's the profit, to benefit the entire congregation. Spiritual gifts are also given to females, although some gifts, such as apostle and pastor teachers, have been given exclusively to males. You know, and I know that there are some things ladies can do that men really can't do nearly as well. Sometimes not at all. The Greek text reads literally, now to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, which means that no believer is without at least one spiritual gift, even though not all believers will receive one or more of these 9 sign gifts mentioned in verses 8 through 10. Although some spiritual gifts are still being given, these 9 sign gifts stopped being given when the New Testament was completed. We will see this as we make our way through chapters 12 through 14. But because the 9 sign gifts are not being given today doesn't mean that you, as a believer, do not have at least one spiritual gift, because you do. You maybe didn't realize that, but you think about that. What do you do in a local church that's needed, that's good? I know some people just sit there and do nothing, but that's not what they have to do. God has gifted you. Use your spiritual gifts for his honor and glory. Now, to profit withal, implies for the profit, benefit, or advantage of the local church, rather than for the profit, benefit, or advantage of the individual to whom the gift has been given. Now, here's an interesting fact that you maybe didn't notice. The mention of God the Holy Spirit, of God the Son, and of God the Father take the Trinity for granted. Paul is not attempting to prove its existence. It is a fact that he talks about. The normal order for speaking of the triune God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The order in this passage in 1 Corinthians is the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father. In other places in the New Testament, the Son is mentioned first. What does this demonstrate? The changing of order demonstrates the equality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make any difference which order they're named, although the normal order is Father, Son, and Spirit. But it does differ from one context to another, which I find kind of interesting. Now, as we get into verses 8 through 10, we see a listing of the special spiritual gifts. And I'll read verses 8 through 10 before I get any farther. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. These are temporary sign gifts given in the infancy of the New Testament church until the scriptures were completed. Now, let me get away from the notes for just a minute. How did the church function before the Bible was completed? When Jesus ascended to heaven, and 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. How did the churches that got started during that period, and that would go on until from maybe 33 AD, AD 33, you got to put AD in front, BC is after, but AD is in front. I don't know why English does it that way, but they do. From 33 to 95, 60 years before the scriptures were completed. How did the New Testament churches know what to do? The answer is the sign gifts were given to guide the churches and the flow of Christianity through the empire. Now, something you cannot tell without knowing the Greek text. There are three groupings of these nine spiritual gifts. The three groups consist of the first two, then the next five, and finally the last two. The groups are distinguished by the use of two different words in the Greek text, both of which are translated another. One means another of the same kind of person, whereas the other means another of a different kind of person. The word meaning another of a different kind appears only two times before the third and the eighth gifts, before faith and before divers kinds of tongues. Now, as we go through this, I will point this out to you. First of all, you find group number one in verse 8. To one suggests that the various spiritual gifts are given individually. Is given is the same word used in verse 7, which means is being given. It is something which was still going on at the time Paul was writing 1 Corinthians. As more and more people were being saved, the gifts were continuing to be given. To one is given by the Spirit, meaning through the Spirit, pictures the Holy Spirit as the intermediate agent in giving these gifts, which means that God the Father is the direct agent in giving them. God the Holy Spirit was operating in accordance with God the Father's will. God the Father is responsible for the gifts being given, and the Holy Spirit gives them to the individuals of God the Father's choosing. The word, meaning the proclamation, the instruction, the teaching, or the message of wisdom, may mean the word is wise, or the word is characterized by wisdom, or it may suggest that what is proclaimed is wisdom. Both of these are true. To another, another means another of the same kind of person. The word, meaning the proclamation, the instruction, the teaching, or the message of knowledge or of understanding is given. It is understood in the sense of a knowledgeable or an understanding word, or in the sense of the content of the proclamation, instruction, or teaching, or message as being knowledge or understanding. So, two people who are like each other. One gets the gift of wisdom, one gets the gift of knowledge. Knowledge seems to pertain a lot to facts and to things. Wisdom seems to pertain to integrating those facts into action, just like in our modern way of thinking. But then we move into group number two. Now we're dealing with a different sort of person. Five different gifts are given to people who are not like the two in group number one. Group number two, verses 9 through the first half of 10. To another, meaning to another of a different kind of person, faith by the same Spirit. And then we go back to another of the same kind of person, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another of the same kind, the working of miracles. To another of the same kind of person, prophecy. To another is another of the same kind of person, discerning of spirit. So we have faith, we have healing, we have the ability to work miracles, we have prophecy, and we have discerning of spirits, all given to the same sort of person, but not to the same individual necessarily. Faith, which is belief or trust, as a spiritual gift, refers to a higher measure of faith than saving faith. Saving faith you have because you trusted Christ as Savior. You exercised that. But this is faith to move mountains, according to verse 2 of chapter 13. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. The gifts of healing refer to physical healing. So if you had a physical problem like people in the New Testament did, and the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Paul or one of the other apostles came and laid hands on you, he could heal you from your malady. The working of miracles. There were some things that were definitely miraculous that people with this gift were able to to do. Prophecy, or prophesying, means that God revealed things directly to this person, and that this person in turn communicated these things to others as God's spokesman or mouthpiece. Prophecy is often divided into foretelling and forthtelling, both of which require receiving divine revelation. Foretelling has to do with revealing things which are yet future. Forthtelling has to do with truths that are not future. Now, here's where I'm going to get into some trouble with some people, and that's okay. They need to learn the truth. Although some attempt to equate forthtelling with preaching, they are not the same. Why not? Because the preacher of today is not receiving divine revelation directly from God and then communicating it to the people. Instead, a Bible preacher is receiving God's revelation indirectly through the scriptures, which God has previously revealed to the scriptural writers. Now, I have heard preachers say that they have the gift of prophecy because they are forthtellers. I'm telling you, they are mistaken. They are unscriptural in their view. And I'm talking about some well-known individuals that are good men, but they happen to be wrong on this subject. Without divine revelation being given to the individual, he's not receiving prophecy, whether it's foretelling or forthtelling. He can get all the indirect revelation he wants through the Bible. That's how we get it. God gave it to us. He gave it to people who wrote it down for us. But they received the prophecy. We received it only indirectly. Now, regardless of what someone might think, no one and no preacher has the gift of prophecy today. Now, I happen to have been well acquainted with at least two men that were in the ministry that claimed to have the gift of prophecy. Or one claimed it was his wife that had the gift of prophecy. I'm telling you, they were mistaken biblically. Now, if the gift of prophecy has ceased with the completion of the New Testament, you know there's no way they've got it. We're going to show that in a couple of chapters. Then there's discerning of spirits. Both Paul and John warned that demons would sometimes give messages to people who would then pass them on to those who would listen. These are demons giving this spiritual conversation. In 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul warned Timothy of seducing spirits and teachings which have their source in demons. That's doctrines of devils. It reads, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to," meaning paying attention to, "seducing spirits," that's not the Holy Spirit, "and doctrines," or teachings, "of devils," meaning they have their source in demons. John likewise wrote in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." How do we try or test the spirits? We compare what they are saying with what the Bible says. And if what they are saying contradicts the Bible, they are wrong. The Bible is God's word. It is accurate. The false prophets were the mouthpieces for the spirits or demons. If their messages did not harmonize with what God had revealed in the scriptures or through the apostles, it would be clear that their messages were not from God. Thus, inasmuch as prophecy or prophesying was a gift of God, and there would be prophecies given in local churches by various people, the gift of discerning of spirits was given to establish that the prophecies were really from God and not from some demonic source. Discerning speaks of the ability to distinguish and evaluate, and is understood in the sense of distinguishing or differentiation. Today, we don't have the discerning of spirits as a spiritual gift. Instead, we have the scriptures by which we are able to discern correct and accurate teaching from false teaching. But if we don't know what the scriptures say, how are we ever going to figure it out? That's why we need to have strong teaching in our churches. And that's why our people need to study the Bibles diligently on their own. And we move into group number three. Only two to go. All right, only two to go. We'll make it eventually. To another. Meaning another of a different kind of person. Divers kinds of tongues. Divers are not those that go down underneath the water, okay? Divers means diverse, various. To another, meaning another of the same kind, the interpretation of tongues. Now, divers kinds of tongues are foreign languages. Divers is understood in the sense of various, and as is indicated by the italics, has been supplied by the translators. Kinds suggests classes. Of tongues means of languages. Tongue speaks of a body of words and systems that make up a distinctive language. That's what your teachers in school, the English teachers, are trying to teach you, or were trying to teach you back in the dark ages when some of us were in school. The gift of tongues. I guess that's where I'm supposed to be. Tongue speaks of a body of words and systems that make up a distinctive language. When I take my eye off my notes and I try to find my notes again through my trifocals, sometimes the page seems to move and I get to the wrong place. So if I repeat something, at least I'm not repeating everything, you know, like some more mature gentleman than I am. The gift of tongues was the ability to speak a foreign language without having previously studied it. Now, you can see how beneficial that would be to somebody like the Apostle Paul, who kept traveling through the Roman Empire. He would get into a different language wherever he went. The gift of tongues enabled him to speak the languages without having previously studied them. My Greek students wished they had the ability to do Greek without having studied it, but it didn't work that way. It is not gibberish. It's not babbling like a baby. It's not something you practice so that you can speak in tongues. The interpretation or translation of tongues is the ability to understand a foreign language without having previously studied it. Now, we've all been in places where somebody was speaking words and we had no idea what they were saying. Or they might have been complimenting us as to how handsome or how beautiful that person is, or how intelligent looking that person is. They might have been saying something different, but we have no idea what they were saying because we don't speak the language. And if you've been in certain places, it's not just Spanish they're speaking. They might be speaking a dozen different languages within a very short space of distance. Finally, in verse 11 we see that spiritual gifts are distributed according to the Spirit's will. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, but, same word translated now often, signaling a slight change in direction and should probably be understood in the sense of now. All these suggests all these things and is referring to the spiritual gifts mentioned in verses 8 through 10. All these worketh is the same word used in verse 6, meaning brings things about through the use of capability, works, produces, or effects. Its tense indicates that this is always the case as long as the gifts were being given. You see that ETH on the end? That tells you it's a present tense and its action is ongoing or repeating. That one and the selfsame Spirit is the one and the same Spirit, and it refers to the Holy Spirit. The one indicates that there is one and only one Holy Spirit. They're not two or three different spirits so that they might each work differently. There's only one we're dealing with. The selfsame Spirit means he's the same one who gave the gifts to the various individuals in verses 8 through 10. Again, there were not several different Holy Spirits who might have different ways of distributing spiritual gifts or who might do things differently. We're only dealing with one Holy Spirit because there is only one Holy Spirit. Dividing, meaning by dividing, by distributing, or by apportioning to every man severally. Severally means individually. To dividing to each one his own, or to each one individually, as he will. The fact that the Holy Spirit has a will demonstrates that he is a person and not some impersonal force. It is the Holy Spirit who determines which gift each believer is to receive, and he gives this believer his own gift, the gift specifically intended for him to use in his service to the Lord. Why were you gifted as you are? So that you can use the gift that you have in your serving the Lord. It is not necessarily limited to one gift. Some believers may have been given more than one gift, and I'm sure some of you are in that situation. The gift or gifts either is or are not chosen by the individual. Did anybody ask Ashley if she, you know, before she was born, if she wanted to learn how to play the piano? No, nobody bothered. Nobody bothered to ask me if I wanted to be a pastor teacher either. I was never consulted about that to get my, you know, get my input. What could my input be? Wherever you want to send me, Lord, that's where I want to go. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do, and I want to do it the way you want me to do it. How else can I respond possibly? Unless I say no, that's not a good answer. The gifts are not chosen, and we should accept them as God's will for our lives. Accordingly, no believer should be whining or complaining about what the Holy Spirit has given him or wishing he had a different gift. He should be well satisfied with God's choice for him and use it for God's glory. I've been called as a pastor teacher. Sometimes I have taught in a Bible college or graduate school. I love serving the Lord with the gift he has given me. Now, some people don't like the way I do it. That's their privilege. They can be wrong if they want to be. That's my opinion, okay? Now, Maybe God doesn't want him under my ministry. That's fine. Having introduced the subject of the 9 special sign gifts, we'll go on with more about them in the next several messages, but this is enough to give you pause for concern that you better go back and review so you get the idea of what we're talking about. Let's have prayer. We'll get the musicians, at least musician, back, and we'll sing our closing hymn. Our Father, thank you for the privilege of studying thy word. Help us to understand it and to apply it to our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen.